following has been pre-recorded for your listening and dancing pleasure.
This Doug and Danny podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
It's the Herd. During the summer, it seems like everybody's on a different schedule. Vacations, shorter days, working remotely. So meeting all your clients and colleagues in person, sometimes it's virtually impossible. That's why we recommend in the Herd, go to meeting with HD Faces. It lets you meet face-to-face no matter where you are this summer. So you're at work, but one of your clients is at their beach house. No problem. With GoToMeeting by Citrix, it takes a webcam and a click to collaborate in group HD video. You can even join from an iPad, and you get to see all your attendees eye to eye while collaborating from all over the country. During the summer, everybody's on a different schedule. Now meet your clients and colleagues in person, no matter where they are. My listeners can try GoToMeeting free for 30 days. Don't wait. Special offer. Visit GoToMeeting.com, click on the Try It Free button, use the promo code Colin, and be sure to use the promo code Colin.
You're tuned in to the Doug and Daddy Show on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. You can join the show by calling the Bruce Furniture fan line, emailing the Dent Popper inbox, by sending us a tweet or a Facebook message. The show that brings you guests that offer the best insight from the top professionals in sports.
Stu Pospisil, Omaha World Herald. Brian Rosenthal, beat writer for the Lincoln Journal Star. From ESPN, ESPN.com, Adam Rittenberg. Steve Sipple, the Lincoln Journal Star. Mike Babcock of Huskers Illustrated. Sean Callahan of HuskerOnline.com.
As well as the top athletes and coaches in sports.
Tim Miles in his initial visit to the Doug and Daddy Show. U.S. Olympian Tervell Delagnev. Doug O'Neill, winning trainer of All Have Another.
Who'll be on the show today? Let's find out by heading to the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth for the Doug and Daddy Show.
And good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Doug and Daddy Show here on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. We got a pretty busy Wednesday planned out for you. We're going to be talking with UNK football coach Daryl Morris on our Lopert Link here in just a couple of minutes. Then we're going to head out to Indianapolis and talk to Brad Wagner, coaching the Kearney Little League. And wow, what a run they have got now. Now the key part is like the Olympics. You're just trying to qualify. Of course, you want to show that you're the best team, and right now Kearney is showing that they are the best team so far in this tournament. But now you have to win to advance. Two wins away from Williamsport, and Monty Kratzenstein is co-hosting with me again today. And Monty, this is as real as it's ever felt. The Kearney team, as we said, until last year they'd never won a game in the regionals. And so just doing something, proving that you belong, had been kind of the goal for every team that had went out there. And now all of a sudden you have to keep those emotions back a little bit about being the first team to go to Williamsport, which would be a lifelong memory. And they've got two more games. They'll have Missouri today, a rematch of a game they won, or tomorrow, a rematch of a game they won 9-4 earlier. But wow, so NFL guys can't keep emotions in check sometimes. We're talking 11 and 12 year old young boys.
Yeah, that's for sure. You know, one of the things about this is what's the expectations? We talked about that before. And now all of a sudden they're there and they're the favorites. People are talking about them in Indianapolis right now. And it's exciting. It's big-headed stuff for, again, 12-year-old kids. Now all of a sudden ESPN, you turn it on and Little League regionals are around. You're starting to see different kids. And so that's a fun deal.
And last year, as Coach Koski told us, now all of a sudden you're making time to do your introductions. They pull you aside. They talk to each kid for a second. They say, hey, you know, who's your favorite player? They do the film, you know, hey, I'm Nate Murray. My favorite player is Albert Pujols. I'm blah, blah, blah. I play second base. And you'll have all of that, and all of a sudden, then it hits you. What's going on?
Well, the actual baseball game sometimes becomes almost secondary because when teams play U-SSSA, all these travel team games, they play multiple games during the day. Yeah. This is one game per day, so there's a lot of time to kill, and with that, a lot of time comes a lot of hype, a lot of, you know, ESPN stuff. And so, yeah, the challenge is the focus part, but the baseball part for the kids probably is the easiest thing.
Well, and tomorrow night, 6 o'clock, is the game on ESPN2. So that's what's going on with the Little Leaguers. Also, we will be talking with Rick Rebarger, Hastings High football coach, towards the end of the program today as our high school football preview continues. So we've got a full lineup today, and that is what is on the plate. Obviously, the Olympics staying busy. The United States women a winner yesterday. The United States men play Australia today, and Alex Marich as the medal round begins there. But I think, Monty, we're starting to get in, especially for some of these non-individual sports and even beach volleyball, at least as a two-man or two-woman team. We're seeing the Americans around in volleyball, in women's volleyball, sand volleyball on the court inside. We're seeing both basketball teams still around. So a lot. The wrestling is just going to get going with Jordan Burroughs on Friday and Tavel Dolagnev on Saturday.
I'm glad you didn't say that now the real sports are becoming important. You
no,
know?
No.
Not that table tennis and badminton and synchronized diving isn't a big deal, but now all of a sudden the sports that us Americans can understand a little bit more, they're coming about, and I'm getting a little bit more interested.
The bronze medal game of table tennis, and it must have been team table tennis. That wasn't doubles, but it was like you there was player one, and there's like five guys just going nuts, and it was like Hong Kong or somebody lost to the Germans in the bronze medal match. It just, I don't know how they serve like that, and the table looks so small. But that was on this morning, and along with some equestrian and
wow,
things
yeah.
that I
you
don't
think
that, watch.
You think there's a lot of people around there, little kids watching that on TV, going, "Man, I want to be able to ride that horse in the Olympics." You think that's the way to maybe rope that calf? It was rodeo. Then maybe some of us Nebraskans would understand that a little bit more.
They could have that as a sport. South America would be huge in it.
Giddy up. Let's
that
go.
That would be
Let's
awesome. Well, they're getting ready to start football practice officially tomorrow at UNK, and it's time for our Loper Link, brought to you by Charter West National Bank of Kearney. Let Russ Smith help you with all your lending needs. You have the reasons. They have the loans. And by Garrett Tire, Tread, and Appliance. For all your vehicle services, big or small, check them out at Garrett. And back from Kansas City and his first MIAA Media Day is UNK head football coach Daryl Morris, joining me, Doug Duda, and Monty Kratzenstein, my co-host on the program today. Daryl, good morning.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Well, doing okay. How was Kansas City? Let's start there. It's here. Everybody's now asking the questions that we've been talking about for 2 years.
Well, you know, Kansas City was great. It's a different situation than we used to go to and go through at the RMAC. But again, the MIAA does everything first class, and you know, there was a lot of media people there from all over the Midwest. Basically, every radio personality from every city that hosts a MIAA member. So it was interesting but enjoyable.
Take me through it. I'm sure a lot of it was the same questions, but what did you learn anything? Did anybody point anything out to you, any intriguing questions while you were there?
Well, you know, they basically, a lot of them that have knowledge about our program want to know how we're going to replace Spitzelberger and what's going to happen with that. You know, what kind of challenges do you foresee coming into the MIAA? And obviously, we're not naive, and we've had 2 years to prepare for this process, and we're fully aware of what the MIAA is in terms of small college football. It's the SEC of Division II football, and you know, so a lot of questions about that. What do we expect? You know, are we going to change anything because of the style of play in the MIAA and those kind of things? So, kind of standard, actually.
Coach, this is Monty Kratzenstein.
What I'm
wondering about is, you talk about style of play, and you have 2 years to prepare. Do you philosophically, with your X's and O's, truly prepare, do something different? You guys have been pretty good at what you're doing.
You know, there's only so many things you can do with 11 people. And, you know, I think the MIAA kind of sees itself as a passing league, which the RMAC was certainly a passing league. So we're not going to change anything philosophically. We're still going to be an up-tempo, no-huddle offense. We're not going to have Jake Spitzelberger at the helm, but we're going to have somebody, and we're going to have to tweak it just a little bit and emphasize the things that individual does well in our offense, but it's still going to be the same offense. And defensively, I'm still not a patient guy. We're still going to give the opposing quarterback a quiz, who's coming, where they coming from, and how many are coming, and we're going to go that route with it.
Well, it sounds like some things are still being shuffled about on the offensive side of the football. You got a new wide receiver that has just come onto campus, who has a very interesting Nebraska-like name, which might be able to help you out at running back. We've talked a little bit about bringing in a new quarterback, so let's take them one at a time. Tyler Diamora, he is a kid that's come onto campus to help with the quarterback depth, maybe even have a chance to win the starting spot. Where are we at when you take that first snap with the offense tomorrow?
Well, you know, obviously right now, Eric Kaiser's the on the depth chart. He's number one on our depth chart, and he's still got Kevin Romero. But Tyler D'Amore was a young man that was at the University of Arizona this past spring. We watched him play in their spring game this past spring at Arizona. He did a very good job. Rich Rodriguez is the head football coach at Arizona. He runs a no-huddle, up-tempo office, and Tyler was doing a very good job of running that offense and very proficient at it. As we visited with him when we were recruiting him here this summer, very intelligent young man, has high football aptitude, and can follow the conversation, can ask questions that make sense. So I look for him to be in the thick of things. It's a wide-open race, and I look for him to get every opportunity to see if he can become our quarterback.
Coach, what's your philosophy on how soon do you want to make that decision?
I don't really have a philosophy, but I do have a timeline, and it is a short one. So Coach Siegel, our offensive coordinator and our quarterback coach, has got a task, and he's got to figure out who that gentleman is going to be pretty quickly. And we have got to get that individual enough reps to make sure that they are ready to play against Washburn University on August 30th at 6 o'clock in Topeka.
Daryl Morris, head football coach at UNK, with us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. We can't overlook that Russ Martin is gone, so it's not like you, I guess maybe the one silver lining is you've got two new guys, not one guy trying to learn off the other. So if you are doing some different things on offense, it really doesn't matter to whoever you pick at quarterback. How'd that go in the spring, and how's that been going in the offseason?
Well, Eric Kaiser, you know, who's number one on the depth chart right now, was a redshirt for us last year and was exposed to the offense through Coach Martin. Obviously, Coach Siegel has a few different ways of presenting material and doing some things, and I think Eric has picked up on that pretty well. It's not drastic change by any stretch of the imagination. So, you know, I think that's gone very well. The new kids, the biggest hurdle is going to be terminology, things that they're familiar with, that they've called other things. Tyler is going to have to change the Arizona terminology that he has and use association with the terminology that we use. But eventually, he's got to be able to speak Loper to our coaching staff and his teammates so that everybody's on the same page.
Sounds like you might have former Arizona throwing to former BYU, O'Neal Chambers. Oh, what a name, from Northeast Nebraska, but not really. Has become a part of your ball club, I understand.
O'Neal and his mom and dad arrived here this morning, and you know, everything is progressing well to get him in school here and get him all up to speed on all the things that he needs to do to be able to get to practice with us and get in school. So we're excited about him. He obviously, you know, can look him up on YouTube. He's there playing against Florida State and everybody else. So, he's a quality player. I think he'll add tremendous depth. I think we'll figure out some ways to utilize his ability. He is a punt return guy. He is a kickoff return guy. Did that in games at BYU, started for BYU as a true freshman. So, you know, I think he can add some things to our offense.
You've touched on what you want to do with Tommy Flanagan and get him the ball. Does this change, now that you have a little more depth at wide receivers, does it change what you want to do with him?
Well, you know, we are tossing around. You know, Ricky Trinidad, who had a good year for us as a true freshman last year, has had some back problems over winter and spring. He had a stomach issue as well. Right now comes in at about 162 pounds, probably a little too small. So, you know, there's an opportunity maybe to move Tommy Flanagan to tailback and get some snaps for him at that position while we continue to try to move him around with formations and make it difficult to defend him. So we're looking at that, talking about that, and that decision will be made as we go through two-a-days.
Coach, could you talk about the challenge of facing opponents that you haven't played before? You know, that other school down toward the east had some trouble with that last year, just knowing the background and the tendencies and those sort of things. Can you talk about that?
Well, you know, the biggest challenge really is, hey, where do you eat? Where do you stay? I mean, all that stuff, the stadium, where is it at, and all that kind of stuff. Football is football. In the MIAA, you get all the games that the opposing team has played. So, I mean, again, there's only so many things you can do with 11 people, and after a while, everything falls into either a three-man front or a four-man front, and it's a two-deep secondary or a one-high secondary and spread formation or two backs, one back. So, you know, I think we've probably seen it all before. So we'll have a good opportunity to have great knowledge of whoever we're playing week to week because of the amount of film we'll trade with our opponent each week.
A couple minutes left here with Daryl Morris, UNK football coach. I don't know if I'm going to use the right word here, coach, but Are you nervous at all?
You know, I'm not yet because, you know, we're in the MIAA and we're undefeated. So, you know, nothing to be nervous about right at this moment. But I think we'll all get keyed up a little bit as we get closer and closer to game time. Right now I'm just excited to get the guys back on campus. And I am excited to look at some of the new kids that we brought into the program and see what they actually can do and what kind of skill sets they actually do have and how we're going to be able to utilize that. So it is an exciting time. So I'm more excited about anything more than anything.
You came out, and I just want to get your reaction, being picked sixth in the MIAA. I don't think anybody's overly surprised by that in a 15-team league, and you're the new guys on the block. Just your reaction when you saw that.
I was actually a little bit surprised. I had us probably at number 8 or number 9, something like that. So, you know, again, coming from where we came from, going to where we're going, that league that we are now in is, you know, it's a good football league, and they are very proud of their accomplishments. And they are very confident people in the caliber of football teams they have in that league. So I was a little bit surprised that they would put us that high, to be honest with you. Doesn't mean diddly. We still got to win games. And everybody in that room, as they shook your hand, basically smiled at you, said hello, and then you could see the gears in their head going, hey, we're going to kick your rear. So, you know, that's the way it is.
But, Coach, you know, you use that for motivation, right? I mean, that's a good deal
also.
Well, you
know, one of the challenges I do believe, and I'm banking on this, I really do believe this because Pat Burns used to have this challenge, is each guy that has been in that league and every team that has been in that league is going to have to convince their team. Every head coach is going to have to convince their team that UNK is actually a decent football team. And I'm hoping that they struggle at doing that because that'll be in our favor.
And, Coach, we are taking for granted the defense. You touched about that off the top of our interview here, but let's at least take a look at Coach Crocker's defense and where the strength is going to be and if there's any holes there you need to fill in.
Well, you know, some of the strength is going to be, obviously, you start at free safety with Sam Cook, who's a preseason All-American, and Justin Teal, who's a preseason All-American, and Dex Weiger at defensive end. You know, I mean, some of those kids are going to have, and we're going to have to lean on our defense early until whoever becomes our quarterback becomes comfortable enough for us to really lean on him. So with Sam Cook playing free safety and as intelligent a player as he is, and Justin Teal, who I think is probably as good as any defensive lineman in the MIAA, and Dex Swigert is a dude. There's no question about that. So we're going to have to lean on the defensive side of the football early in our season.
He is the head football coach at the University of Nebraska. Kearney, you fired up for tomorrow?
Yeah, I am fired up. I'm excited to get him going. And for the last 3 or 4 weeks, you know, we've been heavy in the meetings and talking a lot about this and that and filling out forms and chasing kids down for insurance information and getting sick of that and ready to practice some football.
Coach, I guess I did talk about the new wide receiver. Are there any other kids that have come in late here that we need to know about?
Well, we got a young man by the name of Elijah Denai, who is a good-looking kid, played a couple of years of junior college basketball. The last kind of kid we had like that was Richie Ross, so we're excited about him. He's probably 6'4", 240, a defensive end. Excited about him. Another young man who we've nicknamed Junebug because we actually can't pronounce his Nigerian name. You know, so we're calling him Junebug or JB. That's his nickname. Offensive lineman, a young man by the name of Adam Carpenter, who will make Peter Trausch look like a midget.
Wow.
Is in here as well as an offensive tackle, so we're going to get a good look at him. So we do have some other young men that are. I'm excited to get them on the field and see what they can actually do.
Well, Coach, we'll talk with you again in a couple of weeks here after you get some practices under your belt, and keep them healthy until then.
That's a key right there. Thanks, buddy.
Hey, take care. Darryl Morris, head football coach, University of Nebraska at Kearney. Well, I think we learned some things today, Monty. We learned some names coming in. We learned some good news here. It's weird, and a lot of folks may, if they haven't followed the Lopers fairly religiously, have to wonder, how did they get to this spot in the quarterback position, even with the 4-year starter in Jake Spitzelberger? Well, the answer is they had a couple of guys, and a couple of guys aren't here anymore for different reasons, and sometimes that just doesn't play into your hand, and all of a sudden, a guy they thought was going to be the starter this year was no longer with the program.
Well, it's great to have a kid like Jake. I mean, everybody wants a kid like Jake, but the problems with having a kid like Jake that's been around for so long is some of those other quarterbacks that are pretty good, they get discouraged or they see the writing on the wall that they aren't going to play that much until maybe their last few years. And every kid wants to play. You see that at the Division I level too. Aaron Green left Nebraska and went somewhere else because he didn't want to be a backup.
Yeah, and it's happened. It happened to Cody Green. It's happened to a couple. Well, it's happened throughout college football history. I think now we just hear it maybe a little bit more and more, because way back in the day, you hardly ever thought about sniffing the field if you weren't a redshirt sophomore, at least, and you had to be an All-American type player to do that back under the Devaneys and the Osbournes. But that's not the case anymore. If there's a lot of ifs here, but UNK, their schedule is horrible to start the season. They play three of the top five teams that are picked above them in their first four games. They play North. They start with Washburn, then they've got Emporia, who is picked seventh. Then they've got Northwest Missouri State and Missouri Western. That's three of the first four games, and three of those teams are ahead of them in the coaches' poll.
But you know what? By the time they're done, they know what they got. That's the good side of playing a tough schedule early is, you know, you survive that, you get through that, you win a few games there, you get your confidence going. You know, it can go both ways, and we've seen it go both ways.
I'd rather have Jake Spitzelberg. I mean, I guess that was kind of the point. When you got that young quarterback, you kind of wish this year that it was at least flip-flop to get a couple games under his belt.
Well, and as a coaching staff, you just say, here's what we got. We can't control this. What can we control? What can't we control? Let's go. Here we go. Away we go.
If that defense is as good as it was last year, the Lopers are going to be in football games, and it will allow the offense to learn as they go along.
Well, we've gotten spoiled with the Loper offense in the past because they're so good. The defense has kind of been a second thought, and, oh, yeah, we're going to score some points. We just got to get a few stops. It will be a little bit different early on when you're getting a new quarterback and a new offensive coordinator together. Then you have to rely more on your defense. And what it sounds like from Coach is they've got some defensive horses.
We might be able to chuckle about this now, but I don't think it could possibly matter who was behind center. This team couldn't possibly turn it over as much as they did last year, which was their Achilles heel.
Yeah, you know, that's one thing that you coach, you preach, you teach, and all of a sudden then on Saturdays you'll see the ball going over to the other team, and that's a frustrating thing. You take care of the ball, and again, that takes care of a lot of issues that you might have with a young offense or with an inexperienced offense against really good teams. You can't do that against the kind of teams they're going to play early on.
Yeah, the defense will not be able to play the kind of minutes that they did last year against MIAA competition and put up the same type of numbers. That's not all with our Loper link today. Just out this morning is the MIAA volleyball poll, and the defending co-champions from Washburn have been selected by the coaches to win the conference. The Lady Blues had 7 of the 13 first-place votes to edge out Central Missouri, who got 4 first-place votes, and then UNK, a perennial top five team in the nation, received 2 first place votes. So they come in with the number 3 spot. Then it's Emporia State and Truman, 13 volleyball teams in the MIAA. So Washburn, Central Missouri, and UNK. And off the top of my head, it would seem to me that UNK had been ranked ahead of Washburn in the national rankings more than Central Missouri, who has always been up there, but they have always been top 15 type of programs. So we'll be talking next week with Coach Squires. They have a interesting twist. Haley Lake, who was a starter last year, no longer with the volleyball program, but Steph Brand, evidently things didn't work out at Wayne State. She's coming to UNK, the former Grand Island Central Catholic standout, sister of Katie Brand, who is going to Kansas State. Steph is coming down. So you lose Haley Lake, you bring in Steph Brand. That's kind of the transition, and should be a pretty good volleyball team coming back next season. Also, yesterday, the cross-country teams had their preseason poll. The men are 4th, and the women are 6th in those polls. So that is our Loper Link for this week. We're back into the season, and our Loper Link is brought to you by Russ Smith at Charterwest National Bank, offering all types of loans from new construction, home, commercial, and for the seniors, reverse mortgage loans. You have the reasons, they have the loans, and at Garrett Tire, well, there is no reason for on-the-farm or downtime on the farm with their on-the-farm tire service and foam-filled industrial tires. You can find out more by going online to GarrettTire.net or contacting the folks at Garrett Tire Tread and Appliance. When we come back, we'll catch up with Brad Wagner, the Kearney Little League baseball coach, and we will also be talking with Hastings High football coach Rick Rebarger. All that coming up.
What kind of fan goes to Buffalo Wild Wings this time of year? The true sports fan. The type of fan that knows there is no offseason. The type of fan that wants more sports. And guess what? Buffalo Wild Wings is all sports, all the time. True fans want more beer and more wings, too. And with more than 20 different sauces and seasonings, Buffalo Wild Wings has more flavors than ever before. Yep, Buffalo Wild Wings really is the place for true fans. And that's the kind of fan we love. Buffalo Wild Wings. Wings, beer, sports.
I like saving money. I mean, it's not like I have a purse stuffed with coupons or... Okay, I do. The other day, I went into Wells Fargo to get help with a car loan.
Good news. You qualify for our double discount promotion. Get double the interest rate discount we normally give on select new loans and lines of credit just for being a Wells Fargo checking package customer.
And the best part? I didn't even need a coupon.
Come to Wells Fargo to discuss how the double discount promotion can help with the interest rate on your new loan or line of credit. Wells Fargo. Together we'll go far. Subject to credit qualification. Wells Fargo Bank N.A. Equal housing lender.
Major League Baseball on ESPN Radio.
Kicks, fires, swing, and a ground ball.
It's a National League East showdown.
Pass the diving Cedeno into left field. Here comes Ford. Hayward delivers.
While the Braves are among the leaders in the wild card, the Mets have some ground to make up.
Home run, David Wright.
They look to cut into the deficit this weekend.
Braves and Mets, Saturday and Sunday night on ESPN Radio. Brought to you by Buffalo Wild Wings. Wings, beer, sports.
Sunshine develops across the area today with a high of around 94 as northwest winds develop and increase to 10 to 20 miles per hour. That will stay with clear skies tonight with a low at 63. I'm Weather Eye meteorologist Paul Trombley. Right now it's 82.
Welcome inside the comfortable Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Doug Duda, our co-host today, Monty Kratzenstein. In just a couple of minutes, we're going to be chatting with Brad Wegner, Kearney Little League baseball coach, 4-0, getting ready for the semifinals tomorrow in Indianapolis. And then Rick Rebarger, Hastings High football coach, is going to join us on the program as well. Tomorrow, Bob Jensen is going to be in studio as our co-host, and we'll be talking about the Huskerland Prep magazine, which is out, made its debut this week. Go to your Hastings bookstore, go online to huskerlandprep.com to find out more information, how to get your magazine and get signed up for the weekly newspaper updates that is sent to your home or business. But Huskerland Prep is out, and I know you can pick it up at Hastings bookstores in the Tri-Cities. Well, as you get ready for lunch today or just an evening get-together or out for the weekend to have fun, don't forget Cunningham's Journal. The Loft and Courtyard is the place to be. It was hopping last week with a ton of folks. You had the reunions in town. You had some weddings going on. You had the great entertainment. And it's summertime, great time to be outside. And if you just want to be inside in their upgraded air conditioning for lunch, try some pizza, prime rib, chicken, burgers, or the bacon-wrapped shrimp skewers, Journal Bites. It's all there for you. Catch salad, whatever you want, is at Cunningham's Journal. And for every lunch, you can get a specialty burger and a bottle of the coldest domestic draft beer in town for only $6.49. So don't have the same old lunch every day. And don't just stay at home. It's boring. Cunningham's Journal and the Courtyard, your home away from home for sports, live entertainment, and lunch, located on the bricks downtown Kearney at 23rd Street. They will be among the many places that will have ESPN2 on tomorrow night, 6 o'clock, as the Kearney Little Leaguers will be in action, taking on the Missouri team, DeSoto, Missouri. And Brad Wegner rejoins us here on the Doug and Daddy Show, along with my co-host Monty Kratzenstein today. And, Coach, congratulations on the run so far.
Hey, thanks a lot, guys. This is it's been fun. You know, what can you say? 4-0 is not something I expected. Figured it'd be, you know, get a couple wins and get into this tournament to get the kids on TV. So, it's been anything the kids could have ever expected. It's been a lot of fun. They really do it right here at Little League.
Hey, Brad, this is Monty. I just want you to know that I only come out for the very most important guests, you know, the Urban Meyers, people like that of the world. So nice to be able to finally talk to you.
It's too bad, Doug. You couldn't have done better, but I guess you got to do what you got to do.
I hear you. We'll make the best of it like we always do, huh? Hey, I do have a serious baseball question. You know, you've been around youth baseball a lot throughout the years. U-SSA, Little League, et cetera. Has there been anything that's really surprised you about the baseball that's been played in this tournament in Indianapolis?
Oh, not really. I mean, you know, a lot of these teams do play U-SSA on the weekends and Little League during the week. And so you can just see, you know, the talent level is there. The pitching's tough. You know, all the aces, even the second guys for a lot of these teams, you know, throw probably mid-60s when they really bring it, and their stuff's all good. A lot of them are throwing knuckleballs, which that's one surprise that can't believe how many kids are trying to throw a knuckleball. But, mm-hmm. you know, other than that, it's baseball. It's still, you know, hit it, run, throw strikes, and it's pretty simple. If you try to keep the kids' heads out of the clouds, that's the other battle you fight. But, no, it's other than that, it's been kind of what I expected. And, of course, seeing it last year, you know, there wasn't too many surprises walking in, too. So.
What about those challenges? Doug and I talked earlier about what do you do with all your time? Because, you know, that's one of the challenges. You know, the on-the-field baseball, like you said, baseball is baseball.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of downtime, and then now you're getting into that point where there's a lot of hype and a lot of ESPN stuff. And what kind of challenges does that present to you as a coach?
Well, it's huge. I mean, right now I'm standing at the Indiana State Fair trying to figure out, you know,
you got a corn dog,
which ride I'm going to go on with the kids. So,
you got a corn dog in your head, Brad?
Actually, if I'm looking at the fried butter deal, maybe trying that, or the fried Twinkie. But it's tough because you got one game a day, and that's kind of a little league rule. And so, yeah, you've got typically, you know, on game days it's not so bad because we have about 2 hours worth of practice time by the time we all eat as a team. You know, the kids go trade pins. This pin trading thing, I would say we're also leading the tournament and trading these sports pins. It's crazy how the kids all get together. They've got to know kids from Wisconsin. They're cheering for each other, stuff like that. So that's what we're doing with the kids. And today, you know, I told all the parents, come get your kids because I'm not sticking around. We're getting out of here. And they've got their kids out at the NCAA Museum or down at the track at Indy doing tours. And that's critical, is just kind of get them all away from each other once in a while, because this many days together, you know, you got to make sure there's no bickering or any of that starts. It's a challenge, but Indianapolis is a good place for it. We're doing real well. The kids are getting along great. They're all high character kids, and I can't say enough about how good they've been to each other.
Brad, were there any little things that are different about the trip this year from sitting in the stands last year?
Well, yeah, I mean, obviously, being inside the dorm, being, you know, they keep the kids in a secure area, and being in charge of that, you know, there's a lot going on. Little League has a lot of paperwork, you know, checking the kids in and out, and just making sure you get your lineups in on time. That's something that, you know, I kind of knew it, but you just don't understand just the management side of it. So you get here, it's fun. They keep it fun, but the other part is just what I said before, keeping the kids moving. You know, keeping them all kind of in a group and creating that team camaraderie as you're here is a little different. And then just the stress, obviously, is way higher. I thought I was nervous in the stands, but obviously when you're standing in the dugout, it hits home pretty good. We had the meeting in the dugout this morning and just kind of soaked it all in as ESPN was setting up their stuff. And, you know, that was awesome. Some of the dads came in and we sat and had coffee, and you know, that's kind of when it hits home too. This is a cool deal. This is something that the vast majority of kids don't get to experience, and we're enjoying every second of it.
You know, one of my favorite aspects of ESPN Little League games is that coach's microphone during the game. You know, you and I have coached a lot together, Brad. We've sat on those buckets, and do you have any trepidation about having a microphone on with millions of people listening to you on that bucket?
Kind of like the show today.
Yeah, exactly. This is me practicing for tomorrow. You know, Monty, as much as we've sat on those bucks together, I think you know my answer to that, and probably all your listeners do too. But it was the microphone is optional, and I'm still evaluating that. I'm looking forward to that. You know, we had a meeting with the production people this morning, and they showed us a video of all the good things that have ever been shown on there, and then the one big bad one where the guy from Georgia, one of the kids, said a bad word while he was giving him a pep talk, and he kind of swatted the kid and said, "You can't say that." And the production people said, "Don't be on our video next year for the bad stuff," you know, and everybody kind of laughed. But it's a cool part of the deal because, you know, we go out to the mound and interact with the kids. It's all positive. You got to keep the kids up. They take themselves down. They're so nervous. I mean, they're just they're battling those butterflies, and you don't want to add to that. So yeah, a little trepidation, but I'm on my best behavior, you know, 99% of the time, and I'm looking forward to letting the kids do they're the show, not me.
Well, I will tell you, in all seriousness, you know, just do what you do, because you know, you do it well.
I'll tell you what, and that was one of the things when you watch those little league coaches like Coach Mike Koski last year, and how it's all reaffirming and just trying to keep the calmness down. I can't understand how you guys do that, but being parents, I think is probably number one. Let's get to the baseball a little bit before we run out of time here. Brad Wagner, the coach of the Kearney Little Leaguers. All the games, I'm used to seeing somewhere in there a 2-0 or a 2-1. All the games, for the most part, 4-3 was the closest, lowest scoring game of all the pool play games out there, and that was North Dakota or South Dakota, Minnesota. Are you surprised by the offense that your team is putting up, and are you concerned at all about the pitching because you've been able to kind of freewheel it because you guys have always had some pretty good leads?
Yeah, it's, you know, the kids have jumped on most of the teams in that first inning, and right now we just got a murderer's row of hitters. You know, we've got, you know, our seventh hitter has a home run. Our eighth hitter hit one off the top of the fence to clear the bases. Thad Huber's got three triples, two of them with the bases loaded, and he's our sixth hitter, and you still got our 3, 4, and 5 guys hitting over 500. So, you know, there's nothing I got to do. I sure don't have to give any signals to bunt or anything when we're hitting like that. So, the thing that's going to happen, though, is we're all 0-0 now. You know, the pull play's over. It's going to be everybody's aces, and they're not going to just pitch for 35 pitches. They're usually going to probably go the whole game. So you're going to see the scores drop. I don't expect us to score, you know, 10 runs, anything like that. It's going to be more like the Minnesota-South Dakota game where it's just one run here and there. It's going to get tough.
Brad, you played this Missouri team in pool play, obviously. What did you learn from that, or what can you tell us about that opponent that we'll be watching on TV tomorrow?
Well, they're going to throw – I think they used their ace yesterday, so they're going to throw their second guy. He's about a 6-foot tall, probably 200-plus pound kid, a big Missouri kid that throws pretty hard and has some decent stuff. And we're just going to do the same thing. You know, we've had really good strike zone discipline. A lot of the other teams' parents complain about how we never swing the bat, but we've had a lot of walks, and that really puts pressure – pitch count wise on the other team, and so we're going to try to let him do the same thing, make him throw it down the middle, and when he does hit it, I think we got a good shot against them. You know, they've played some pretty good ball in a couple other games against us. We kind of took it to them when they made a few mistakes, so we'll put it in play and see if they can make the defensive play. That's what it comes down to a lot of times, is just one or two defensive plays. If you give us an extra out, we've punished people so far.
And last minute here with Brad Wagner. So who gets the call for you tomorrow night?
Right now I'm going back and forth. I can't say for sure. I'm looking at Blake Quintana, who was the very first pitcher of the whole tournament for us. He's looked pretty solid. And then with Jake Scala throwing that four-inning shutout against a very good Dakota team, we're kind of looking back and forth between him and Blake. And Matt Masker's got an ERA of 0. So, you know, I can't say for sure, but you might see all three of them tomorrow. Try to keep their pitches down in case we need them in the final.
Well, and that's one of those things, you know, Doug, that when we looked at this team, when you look at the statistics from this team, Brad already mentioned it, the incredible depth all the way through the lineup. This isn't one of those deals where you have two or three guys. And I think probably as a coach, Brad, that is one of the toughest things, is trying to figure out who to pitch, because you've got a lot of choices.
Yeah, just the pitching's deep, and even – our subs have all went out and hit the ball and put it in play. A couple kids got a few hits. You know, it's been pretty easy as far as the coach. I haven't had to do too much with the lineups or anything. So, been easy so far. Let's all pray that it continues.
Well, we're all going to be watching tomorrow night. And Brad, if it works out, can we do this again on Friday's show?
Hey, you bet. I'd love to do it.
Hey, everybody's pulling for you guys, so best of luck, and hopefully we'll yell loud enough that you can hear us all the way here from Nebraska.
Sounds good. Thanks a lot, guys.
Hey, Brad, like I always say, don't forget to have fun.
Oh, never. We're having all kinds of it.
Hey, enjoy your time at the fair. We'll see you on TV tomorrow.
All right, thanks, guys.
See you, Brad. We'll try and have Brad back on the program on Friday one way or the other as well, and hopefully it's the good way. The winner will play in Saturday's championship game at 1 o'clock. Brad Wagner, he is the Little League coach for Kearney and his staff as well, and the kids all out there. They play tomorrow night, 6 o'clock, and that will be on ESPN2. And again, they're going to have a get-together at Crave tomorrow night. Want to let everybody know about that. A lot of the kids have spent some time down there at one of the new hot spots for the youth of Kearney. So they will be opening up tomorrow for that 6 o'clock game. We want to make sure that everybody knows about that. It's a family-friendly environment. So come watch the Kearney Little League in action. Large space, at least 3 HD projections. action, big screen television, so there will be plenty of good angles to catch the game from. Come out, have fun. It's always more fun when you're with a group of people and having a good time and hooping and hollering. But Crave will be open tomorrow night as well. So wherever you're watching it, 6 o'clock is the place, is the time for tomorrow's Kearney Little League game. And the first one tomorrow is the South Dakota team out of Rapid City against the Robbinsdale, Minnesota team. They're both 3-1, and Rapid City beat them 4-3 in pool play, and that's the closest game of the entire tournament.
Well, and both those teams are solid. I think, again, like Brad said, it comes down to pitching and who pitched who, you know, your ace versus your second pitcher and so on. I know Minnesota has a pretty tough pitcher. Now the question is, how much will he pitch in the semifinals? Will he have anything left for the finals? Because that's where your depth comes in. If you have two or three or four solid pitchers, you don't rely on one guy. Of course, now at this point, it's one and done.
And the Missouri team lost to that Minnesota team yesterday 10-4. So they're 1-3 in the tournament. They lost to Nebraska. They lost to the Dakota team. And they lost to Minnesota. The lone win that the Missouri team did put up was blasting that Kansas team that Kearney played yesterday 18-11. So Thad Huber's hitting .750 right now. Jared Wagner's hitting .500 in the tournament. And he mentioned the pitchers. I'm guessing he's going to go with Blake tomorrow to start. And if they need to, they'll go to Matt.
Well, Blake's been kind of the guy that started a lot of these games. And again, Blake's a kid, you know, just knowing these kids. You know, I know I've coached at some sport another 9 out of these 13 kids. Actually, 10 out of these 13 kids. And you want to go with a kid that doesn't get too upset, doesn't get too nervous, and Blake's a good kid for that. But they've got a lot of kids like that. He'll if he doesn't get the job done, a guy will come in and take over. So.
And as a coach, let me pose this question to you as well. Isn't this kind of the start of that whole maturation process where, you know what, at some point, one kid is going to be picked over another kid, and that's the way it's going to be throughout your entire athletic endeavor. And you have to be able to handle both of that, being the kid that got picked to start, say, the championship game on Saturday, and being the kid that has to be ready to come off and maybe if there's some trouble or to close things out, have to be the number two guy.
At all levels, it's all about your role. What's your role on this team? And what we've always, and I know what Brad always talks about, is just because you're a pinch hitter doesn't make you less important than the guy that starts the game, because when you go into that pinch hit situation, in Little League, you have to have one at-bat. You have to play three outs. Well, the time when you go in that one at bat, that might make the difference. And so the key to that is understanding your role. And, you know, it's just like chemistry. It's just like any level of athletics, understanding your chemistry.
Well, we're going to take a break here on the Doug and Daddy Show. When we come back, Rick Rebarger, talk a little high school football with us. We'll touch on a couple other sporting events as well right after this.
Musicians, this month is Guitar Center's 48th birthday. We're celebrating with special anniversary deals, financing, sweepstakes, and more. And this weekend, it's Guitar Center's Big Bash. Now through Sunday, get birthday deals like Newmark DJ To Go controllers, just $39, our lowest price ever. Micro instrument cables, buy one for $15, get two free. Plus, score closeout pricing on Fender G-Deck amplifiers, only $149. That's how we get the party started, and we'll keep it going while supplies last. Guitar Center's birthday weekend event, now through Sunday.
Wait, so I'm not eating barbecue right now?
Are you messing with us?
You're eating a chip. They're smokehouse-style barbecue ruffles. But it tastes like delicious smoky barbecue.
Yeah, that's kind of the point. How are you not getting this?
So it's not actual barbecue.
I was gonna ask if you were raised by wolves, but I think even wolves would get this idea.
Ruffles. Snack like you mean it.
In a recent study on ingredients in CTS Clinical, typical weight loss results are 21 pounds in 12 weeks. But listen to these real results from real customers.
A year ago, I weighed almost 240 pounds. Thanks to my boss recommending Complete Nutrition, I'm down to a lean 167 pounds, and I'm all muscle.
Start your own weight loss success story with CTS Clinical from Complete Nutrition.
Find Complete Nutrition in Grand Island, just north of Boardman's off Highway 281, and in Kearney, just north of Sun Mart on 2nd Avenue.
Complete Nutrition.
ESPN Radio Superstation 1460 and 1550 Weather Eye Weather is brought to you by Farm Bureau Insurance agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers on North 2nd Avenue in Kearney.
Farm Bureau agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers in Kearney, no health insurance.
As independent and authorized producers of Blue Cross Blue Shield of Nebraska, independent licensees of the Blue Cross Blue Shield Association, Rich Peters and Matt Myers will work with you to make sure you have health insurance coverage that fits your needs. Their approach is simple. They listen. And will tailor a policy that'll work within your budget. When you need health insurance, just call Rich Peters and Matt Myers, your local Farm Bureau agents. Farm Bureau Property and Casualty Insurance Company, Western Agricultural Insurance Company, securities and services offered through FBL Marketing Services, LLC, affiliate Farm Bureau Financial Services.
Sunshine develops across the area today with a high of around 94 as northwest winds develop and increase to 10 to 20 miles per hour. That will stay with clear skies tonight with a low at 63. I'm Weather Eye meteorologist Paul Trombley. Right now it's 82.
The Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Doug Giudice, Kratzenstein on this Wednesday, Bob Jensen co-hosting Thursday, Jimmy Langan coming in to co-host on Friday. We're going to have a special guest from the Big Ten Network coming up on Friday's program because as they go around to all the camps, they will be at Nebraska's practice on Thursday, and so we'll get their impressions on Friday's Doug and Daddy Show. Well, folks, ever since the Dust Bowl days of the 30s, Nebraska farmers have been taking care of their land, and since 1968 have been improving their production through the use of pivot irrigation, and today farmers who use hydrostatically powered TNL pivot irrigation systems are continuing to improve their land use and water application efficiency. TNL's hydrostatic power delivers smooth, even water distribution by eliminating the uneven spoking pattern common to electrically powered pivot systems. I'll tell you, the first time they showed us the GPS of their pivot system, which is just a satellite view of a huge field compared to one that didn't have TNL, you're going, huh. If I did that in my garden, I wouldn't even waste my time. So why would you do that with your livelihood? TNL irrigation systems, proven technology that works. See your local TNL dealer, or you can always visit them online, TLIRR.com. Speaking of gardens, Monty, had a little bacon tomato this morning.
Oh, yeah. Best time of year. Go down to the farmer's market, or maybe grow your own. Lazy guys go down, like me, go down to the farmer's market. BLTs. High quality.
I got a couple of people that have been taking care of me, so including an ex co-host and like my sister's family. So that's good.
You know, it's sometimes good to I have know to people. Make trips to,
oh, it's so good. Oh my god, I have them again for lunch today. They're just so incredibly good. Hey, it's time for our high school football preview. Rick Rebarger is going to join us today, Hastings High football coach. But before we bring the coach on, oh my god, Jeff, what did you do?
Well, we took your advice and made some sweet intro music. It's nothing too spectacular.
Like most of this show, I can see you took a lot of time and effort to put this together.
Well, you know, we wanted to keep it brief so we could get to the coaches. You know, who cares about my voice introducing it?
Exactly. So. But let's hear it. Let's hear it.
It's time for a Platte River Preps high school sports preview now on the Doug and Daddy Show.
Today's high school football preview takes us to Hastings for our start of looking at the three high school teams. And we'll start with the Class B Hastings High Tigers today. Coach Rick Rebarger with us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Got 2.5 days of practice underneath their belt. They're looking to turn the one game on the wrong side to at least the one game on the right side, get back into the playoffs. And got some kids coming back. Coach, welcome back to the Doug and Daddy Show. Another season is upon us. And I guess through the first 2.5 days of practice, how are things going?
Yeah, they're going well. You know, our kids are they're bringing good attitudes. And you know, they're working pretty hard. And it was basically first 2 days was getting in our base, trying to get our tools in the toolbox, so to say, and then coming back and brushing those up and working on that stuff. So today, this morning, we were able to get the pads, and when you get the pads, you start seeing some glaring things you need to work on. Obviously, tackling is one of them, which is always typical. And then just, you know, we've got a couple guys on the defensive side that are a little new, and they certainly have the capabilities. Stepping up and doing a fine job for us. It's just reps, matter of getting practice in, reps and repetitions, and just recognizing a lot quicker.
Everybody's a little bit different in the summer, Rick, about having their own camp or how many other camps and whose camp they go to. What did you guys do this summer?
We had our basically what we call our Tiger Camp right away in the 1st of June, and then from there we went to UNK's team camp. And so we had probably about, I'd say roughly 10, 11 days of what we would term our early spring ball, if you will. And then obviously we finished that up with some contact at UNK. And what we try to do then is let them go, make sure that we're keeping track of them with the weight room, but then the parents have the rest of the summer to kind of get their vacations in and whatnot. So that's kind of how we run that.
Coach Rick Rebarger of Hastings High joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Got some kids that are coming back as far as starters, a half dozen on offense, not quite as many on defense. So let's start on that defensive side of the ball. You already talked about having to improve the tackling a little bit. You do have a couple of kids that are going to be the strength of your defense, but take me through where you're at and what you're looking to get done here in the next week or 10 days.
Yeah, I think we feel pretty good inside with Matt Karloff as far as experience is coming back. He battled through some injuries last year. I expect him to be one of the top linebackers in Class B this year. Then our safety, we've got returning safety back and my son. And then we've got up front, we've got some DTs that, is an area where we lost a couple of our experienced guys, but Zach Cook will step into that role, and Alex Fingeneven and Austin Lambrey, and those guys have had tremendous offseason in the weight room. Zach Cook is one of the shining lights in our junior class as far as an offensive lineman is concerned and defensive lineman. He's got playing experience in the sophomore year, and he's come in. We tested right after late season, and he put up some very good numbers, and so did Alex, and so we're happy with that. We just got to get him the reps and get him playing their techniques right on the outside. At the end position, we have our two returning defensive ends, so feel pretty good about that. Mark Gooden and Cody Newland, and then we've got on the umbrella got a couple corners coming back actually about four or five corners that are very good athletes. I think that's kind of our strength of our football team right now is going to be our skilled guys. And they played some very quality minutes in JV and did some good things in the secondary. And so we're watching how that battle develops. And then we've got two young linebackers in Derek Fast and Wyatt Davis that are kind of battling out to see who's going to step up and be the starting linebacker to help Matt out and then give us some depth there as well. But, we obviously don't have a lot of experience coming back, but the kids I think we're trying to put in those slots, they have good ability, and they just got to pick it up a notch, and hopefully we can put together a solid defensive unit.
Rick, you got a lot of guys, or it looks like to me, at least in your kind of your preseason preview here, that are going to be playing both ways, which means they're good athletic talent. Is that more out of necessity or, as you say, just lack of experience and depth?
I think it's more out of necessity this year. We're probably as thin as we've been over the years in the offense and defensive lines. We've got about eight young men that we're practicing in the offense and defensive lines that are up there with the varsity. So they're the good thing about them is they're not real big kids, and all of them came into camp in pretty good shape. And I think that what you'll find is when you see us is we're not going to be real big, but our kids can run. So that's obviously a strength that we've got to play to. And I think it's going to be beneficial to us. And we're no different than any school in Class B or Class C or any school in the state of Nebraska. We got to stay away from the injury bug. And if we're able to do that, and these guys will be in shape, and I think we can rotate them on both sides of the ball, offensively and defensively, to get them some breaks here and there. And you know, they should be able to play four quarters of football.
We're talking with Hastings High football coach Rick Rebarger here on the Doug and Daddy Show as they get ready for their season opener, which two of their first three games this year will be on the road, and that will start at Seward. But let's take a look at that offensive side. Looks like you like what you've got at the line. Obviously, you can't have any more experience than what you have at the quarterback position. You've got a good running back coming back. Take me through your offense.
Well, obviously, Jake Rosen had some starting ability for us last year. He's a pretty fast kid, he's put up some of the best numbers we've had around here as far as speed numbers in the last couple of years. So, you know, we're real comfortable with Jake Rosen. And obviously at the quarterback position, like you mentioned, we have some experience coming back there. The one spot that, you know, we're looking for a couple of kids to step up would be in the fullback position. Derek Fast is working that position. He's about a 185 kid, and he's a pretty good athlete. So, hopefully he's able to run the football and run tough with the football. And then we've got Brandon Roten, who's a senior that's got good size and worked real hard on his speed, and then Wyatt Davis as well. And so, we've got some different types of fullbacks that we can utilize, and I think that gives us some flexibility. And then on the other side, because we're basically a three-back system, we've got Tyus Matthias, who's got good wheels, and then we've got a young man by the name of Tanner Johnson, who's pretty athletic as well, that is also kind of, I wouldn't call him our backup quarterback. He played JV quarterback for us last year, but he's going to split some duties and also do some running back duties as well, and so we feel pretty comfortable in that area. Again, like in our wideouts, you go outside. Graham Schneider will probably be our deep threat. He's got good wheels, good hands, and then you got Will Reimer, who's a very very good possession receiver for us. And then there's a couple other guys, three other guys that are seniors that are good athletes. And so we're pretty comfortable and pretty happy with where we're at in our skill position. And then of course you mentioned up front. We'll have Zach probably playing center for us, and those guys will be bouncing around a lot. Some will start, some will rotate in, and our heaviest kid's probably going to weigh about 215 pounds, but our slowest kid is probably about 5'4" speed as far as electronics is concerned, and that's, we like that. And these guys can run, and with our system, we can get double teams going, that'd be great, but if we can't, we just won't block that guy. And we'll climb the next level, and I think our linemen will be able to get up on linebackers and hold their own pretty well. So, from that aspect, if we can pick up everything we're doing and do it right, I think really our offense is going to be one of the major strengths of our team this year.
Just a couple questions left for Hastings coach Rick Rebarger. Can you believe that it's Tyler's senior season? He's been back there for quite a long time.
Yeah, it's been an interesting ordeal. It's hard to be a coach and coach your son. Sometimes it's very gratifying, and sometimes it's kind of an up and down relationship. But the toughest thing to do is to leave the stuff at home or leave it on the field and not take it to the home. And it's his senior year, and just like everybody else, I think I mentioned last year on the phone, yeah, he's my son, but we look at our 60-plus roster, 10 through 12, and they're all our sons. And we treat them all very fairly. They all get graded after every practice. And we just try to make the best decisions for our entire team. And in my case, I guess I'm a little fortunate that Tyler's been able to step up and give us some quality minutes.
Finally, Coach, just when the fans are looking at the schedule here, it doesn't take, a genius to figure out that all the teams you play in the first three games are in that kind of same boat as you, wanting to get off to a quick start. It looks like there's the possibility for your team to get off with a quick start with teams like Seward and Northwest and Alliance, none of them above 500 last year.
Yeah, they're good football teams, though. That's the thing. I think, Doug, you're going to see that Class B this year, from west to east, there's going to be some quality football this year. I can remember when this group was freshmen, and I thought we still feel like we had a pretty good senior class to be when they were seniors, and I was talking to other coaches, and they're like, well, we got a pretty good group of freshmen, and we got a pretty good group of freshmen, and we got a pretty, you know. And I think they're true. I think Seward's going to be improved, and, you know, and that's all we're really concerned about. But Alliance has got a lot of skilled guys coming back, and they're going to be a quality opponent. And then you got Northwest sitting over there with their entire football team that's basically been playing since they were sophomores, and they've got a good group of athletes over there as well. So I think this year, even more so than the last couple years, is one of the more challenging schedules we'll have. I think, you know, McCook is going to be solid. Scott Fluff has got size and speed, and you know, Beatrice has got a good group of seniors over there as well. And so I really do. I think it's going to be a fun year in Class B. I think you're going to see some really good football at our level of play, and it's going to be a tremendous challenge for us, and we look forward to it.
Well, Rick, we'll let you get back out to practice. Hopefully another good year and an improved year for Hastings. Stay healthy, and we'll talk to you throughout the season. Best of luck.
All right, thank you.
You bet, Rick. Rick Rebarger, our high school football preview for today. As we said, we'll be catching up with Adams Central, St. Cecilia, the Grand Island schools, and once we get done with the Tri-City schools, we'll be then fanning out across Central Nebraska to talk to other coaches, getting ready for the high school season for A and B and some C and D schools. It begins on the 24th. Everybody will have a game in by the 31st, and our guests are taken care of by our friends at BK Burger King. If you're looking for lunch on the lighter side, try their chicken, apple, and cranberry garden fresh salad. Perfectly blended 7 premium lettuces, crisp apples, sweet dried cranberries, crumbly blue cheese. 2 locations in Kearney, also North Platte, Lexington, and Cozad. Who will win this year's PGA Championship, Tiger or the field? I'll take the field. No doubt, the field is who I will take. The field over Tiger Woods is who I will take. Man, I got the feeling. I knew it last week, and we were talking about it over the weekend. Even golfers don't know the PGA's this week. Nobody cares. It is not a major anymore.
Isn't that weird? Because and why is that? Because it's at Medina. It's at Chicago. Great venue. Some history there. Is it because the PGA, typically because of the way it's set up, they have more unknown winners than some of the other majors?
I don't think so. I think around here it's because it's football season.
Yeah. That's true.
I think around most of the nation, it's football season. I think there are too many other things going on. You know how it is. You're always waiting for that first nice day to get the clubs out to go play golf. And then after you figure out you're no good at it, still.
Your dreams are crushed for one more season, so then it's time to start something new.
And I love fall golf because usually that's the best weather. We were so fortunate this year with the weather in February and March and April before it got windy and then just got stone hot in June and July from what we saw. But the PGA doesn't set up for Tiger. The field.
Oh, easily. I think that's probably an easy one. Maybe you could have picked two or three other guys to throw in there along with Tiger and maybe evened it out a little bit. But I don't know too many guys that would pick Tiger right now to win that one.
Yeah, and in this day and age, I mean, we've had 16 different winners and 16 different majors. Even the big boys, you know, you got an Ernie Els coming back. Everybody is out of nowhere, it seems like, to win these anymore. So until Tiger wins again, you have to take the field every single time or you're going to be down coin. Yesterday, which rookie first-round quarterback will have the most wins as a starter? I told you that our listeners would pick Robert Griffin III, and that's who they took, 56%. Andrew Luck, 25%. Brandon Whedon, who I took kind of as a long shot, 19%. And Ryan Tannehill, 0%. Merritt didn't even get on and vote for his own guy at ESPNSuperstation.com.
I guess not.
You got to vote for your own guy. Show a little loyalty there. Because there's no money involved in this, right? It's only for entertainment purposes.
Jeffrey, who did you vote for?
Well, I took Whedon with you just because I think the parts around him.
I can't believe while you and Merritt were in the office over there, as we call him, ex-producer, now guru of Platte River Preps, and does a great job with that, but we do like to poke fun at him. Ryan Tannehill, what? What? No. Anyway.
He's third string right now.
You can vote at ESPNSuperstation.com. We'll wrap things up after this on the Doug and Daddy Show.
What are you going to do with your old car? You can try selling it, you could junk it, or you can donate it to Heritage for the Blind. Your car will be towed away for free, and your donation is tax deductible. Just call 1-800-814-2162. Heritage for the Blind accepts cars, vans, trucks, and boats. It doesn't matter if your vehicle runs or not. It will be towed away for free, and you'll be supporting those that need help. Heritage for the Blind is a nonprofit organization that helps the visually impaired live fuller lives. Call right now to donate your car, and as a special thank you, you'll receive a free 3-day vacation voucher to over 50 locations. Call Heritage for the Blind right now. Call 1-800-814-2162. Donating is easy and your vehicle is towed away for free. Plus, you'll get a free vacation voucher for donating. Call now, 1-800-814-2162. That's 1-800-814-2162.
There are happy hours, and then there are HK happy hours. Hi, this is Mike from HK Sports Bar and Grill, and I want to personally invite you to take advantage of the best happy hours around. Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, you get a buck off all long necks. Thursdays, it's $1.50 pints. Fridays, all drinks are half price from 3 to 6. And on Saturdays, tackle our $2.50 24-ounce big cans of beer. On Sundays, it's 11-buck 100-ounce towers and 12-buck buckets. And remember, text HKVIP to 90210 for even better direct-to-you VIP offers and monthly gift card drawings.
ESPN Radio, bringing you directly to the biggest events in sports.
It is gone!
From opening day of baseball.
Tag out!
Right through the World Series.
Craig is going back. Craig's got home, and the Cardinals are World Series champions.
Whether it's Kobe, LeBron, or D-Wade, when the NBA tips off, ESPN Radio is right there until a champion is crowned.
LeBron James gets his first title as the Heat gets its second in franchise history.
And when the magic of bowl season arrives, ESPN Radio is your home for the BCS.
21-0, and Alabama's the BCS national champion.
The biggest events in sports can be found right here on ESPN Radio.
Doug and Daddy's show, back in the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. The Olympic spirit did not survive the France-Spain men's basketball game where there was a tussle towards the end. It was Pau Gasol versus Tony Parker, but they weren't the ones fighting. And Spain beats France. Russia also a winner today. The United States plays Alex Marich in Australia this afternoon at 4:15. Go to the Dent Popper inbox. Brian says, if Tiger is in it, people will watch. Oh, there's no doubt about it. I just don't think he's going to win it. He might be in it. He might be just be in the tournament, and he might be in it on Sunday.
I hope
just
he is.
Don't have that.
I'm the same way. If he's in it, it's more interesting when he's in it, when he's involved. Like him, dislike him, doesn't matter. You want to watch him.
Tiger's in it. Phil's in it. And then you have to put in the underdog, whether it's an American or not. That is always going to make it for the most interesting golf. You can't give me anybody else. You got to give me Tiger, Phil, and an upstart, a no-name, a Bob May, that all have a chance coming down the stretch.
Good name from the past, Bob May. Nice.
But that was on TV the week before the Cox Classic. I talked to when Steve Friesen joined us here a couple of weeks ago before the Cox Classic. He was paired with Bob May for two rounds on the Web.com tour out in Utah. I mean, you're just going.
I was at Hazeltine when the last time that it was up there. Then Rich Beam won. Nobody heard of Rich Beam. He has a great book, by the way. You want to read that book about his career. And that was the same sort of deal, you know, out of nowhere, beat Tiger at the end.
And a story that has just come down this morning, for those of you that pay attention to this kind of stuff, Ben Crane has withdrawn from the PGA Championship. He missed the British Open, had to withdraw from the Bridgestone because of his back. He is replaced by Chris Stroud, who has not played in a major this year.
The pace of play will now pick up because Ben Crane is the slowest player on the PGA Tour.
And speaking,
I promise.
You kind of set me up there. I can use that. Speaking of the pace of play, you can pick up the pace when it comes to buying your new or pre-owned vehicle from the Midway Auto dealership, because you can take care of most of it from the comfort of your home or office via the computer and thinkmidway.com. They still have the great same sales staff. You remember how it used to be. You dreaded going to try and get a new or pre-owned vehicle because you got on the lot and it was everybody was right on you. Well, that they're still going to be on you, helping you, but it's not going to take near as long because you're going to go, already filled out the credit app online, already looked online. These are the three vehicles I want to look at. They're going to take you right to them. They're going to show them to you. You need to test drive it. They're going to do that as well. And then they're going to give you the best deal because it's hassle-free pricing. You can't find it any better than what they've got it at Midway. Why do you think everybody's driving Midway vehicles, folks? Because it makes people happy. Midway Chevrolet, Buick, Cadillac, Midway Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, Ram, South 2nd Avenue in Kearney. Oh, did handball just come on? Or we got, what do we got here?
I thought it was women's handball, but then it was a European hairstyle. but that is either the ugliest big woman I've ever seen or... team handball is great. That's one thing we would need to institute here in America, because that's a fun sport.
Team handball has just followed up some Olympic men's basketball, and we need to get on out of here, so let's do so. Bob Jensen is going to join us tomorrow. We were full on a show today, so Max Bullock from Michigan State will join us tomorrow. Also a little high school football, Adam Central, Bill Carlin, and that'll be a jam-packed show right there. So that is going to be coming up tomorrow on the show. We want to thank Brad Wagner, Kearney Little League coach, for joining us on the program today. Also UNK football coach Daryl Morris and Hastings High School football coach Rick Rebarger. Lonnie Krasenstein, thanks for coming in and co-hosting again.
Always fun.
I'll tell you what, Kearney Little League, right now it's number one. It's the number one story above all that's going on. Big Red practiced in the dark last night. Well, they practiced at night. Tonight, they get to put on full pads for the first time, so that's always a little extra workout, isn't it, Monty, when you put those pads on the first time? A
little more excitement in the air.
You're here for that first pop, and we'll have more tomorrow. And Big Red Report with Sean Callahan coming up in just moments here on ESPN Radio. Thanks for listening to the Doug and Daddy Show. We'll see you tomorrow. Team handball, yeah!
You've been listening to a Doug and Daddy podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Oh, darling, I feel like amazing.
Don't make me do that again.
Game over.